Have you ever wanted to delve into the writings of the early church fathers, but didn't know where to begin? Well, we have just the resource for you. It's our book of the month for December, A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year. You can find out more at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Year with the Church Fathers, Meditations for Each Day of the Church Year by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. A Year with the Church Fathers, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
I am at peace with my God. I am at peace with my wife. And she is at peace with me.
I think character is definitely an issue. I think they have to make a decision based upon the person's entire record. And certainly, character counts.
Christ's birth made the angels rejoice and attracted shepherds and kings from afar. He was a manifestation of God's love for us.
Going to church and being in the divine service, that's the place where God comes to meet us, where heaven meets earth. So we don't dress like we do when we're out on a Friday night where we're lounging in yoga pants.
Lord of truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It is, well, perhaps one of the most commonly asked questions among people who believe, and it creates a tension. People, Christians who believe that it is through the preaching of the gospel, in particular, that men are brought to faith. There isn't a kind of universal salvation. A universalist would never ask this question. There is no need in that theology, if it can be called a theology, to ask such a question like, what about those who have never had the opportunity and therefore never have heard of Jesus Christ? Now, it's easy to try and dismiss that question because it seems so difficult to answer. But do the math. There's no doubt about it that countless millions, for one reason or another, haven't heard of Christ. What about them? Now, sometimes this question is asked facetiously. It's really more of a statement than a question. We'll talk about that with Pastor Joel Baisley on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 6th. Here on Issues Etc., I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We are coming to you live. As I said, Pastor Joel Baisley joins us to answer this question, especially from a confessional Lutheran perspective. What about those who have never heard the gospel? A question that universalists never need ask. A little bit later, Dr. T. David Gordon will be our guest. He's written recently about human labor in the image of God. We'll be talking with him. In the second hour of the program, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse joins us from the Ruth Institute, and then we'll spend the better part of that hour remembering 4th century Bishop of Milan, Ambrose. He's a giant. He's one of the four Latin fathers. He is we could call him the father to, the spiritual father to, Augustine. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, will join us to remember Ambrose on this Tuesday afternoon. Now, our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Joel Baisley is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several of the works of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Joel, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. Good to be with you.
Sometimes this question about what about those who haven't heard the gospel is asked in innocence, out of sheer curiosity. But sometimes, I would say maybe typically, it's more of a statement than a question. What's usually behind this question?
Well, there, as you had said in the a few minutes ago, that there is a great desire on the part of Christians that all people be saved, and there is certainly an understanding that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then you look at the evidence and look at how far the gospel has spread. And although we could say the gospel has certainly been in every continent and in every part of the world at one time, there are whole areas of the earth that have been without the gospel for generations. And it just raises the question, God loved them so much that he sent his son to die for them, and there they are, it seems, for generations, perhaps hundreds of years, devoid of that saving gospel. And the question, I think, behind the question is a doubt, has God slipped up here? Is there something that God is doing wrong, or is it something that we're doing wrong, or what's wrong with this situation? It really raises a great conundrum, and as you had said, it's a question that I think in my ministry and in my spiritual growth, I have been most comfortable to dismiss because it's a very hairy problem. Has God somehow mismanaged things?
Is it also sometimes a way of people saying, look, if God were fair, he wouldn't do it this way. He would not permit as many or so many to go their whole lives and never even have opportunity to hear the gospel.
Yes, yes, exactly. And with that, there's underneath that is sort of a this idea that the gospel is a chance, that everyone deserves a chance, and if someone doesn't hear the gospel, they haven't had their chance. Now, the spiritual problem underneath that idea of the gospel being a chance for salvation is that it's not a chance for salvation. It's a sure salvation. It's God working salvation in the lives of sinners in order to make them saints and his children. The gospel is not a chance. And I think that's the pervasive idea that most people have about the gospel. We've got to get it out there so that everyone hears it and has a chance for salvation.
Is there also an idea in there that not only is the gospel kind of every man's opportunity and everyone deserves at least one bite at the apple, but also that our condition as fallen, sinful human beings isn't as bad as Scripture makes it out to be, and that we deserve that chance?
Yes, I think that's very much so. And again, the idea that God would be unjust somehow, and that's the terrible root of judging God, that God is unjust if everyone doesn't get that chance or that opportunity. You know, Walter actually has an illustration that drives that point home that I've used with kids. I asked, you know, if there's 20 kids in the room today, if God chose to save just one of them, what would you have to say about God? And almost invariably, the idea is, well, he's unfair. And my response is always, okay, but if God is fair and just, he should give everyone what they deserve, which means he shouldn't save anybody. And so if he saves but one, what's the only thing you can say about God? That he's merciful.
I like the way of thinking, but it really requires that we go back and kind of mine, unearth our unspoken presuppositions about God and his salvation, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So Walther begins in addressing this question in a famous sermon of his with the universality of God's grace. He wants to make sure that no one doubt that because men are lost, it somehow undermines that Christ's death was for all, or that God does indeed perfectly desire the salvation of all.
And that's the first precept. That's the first thing to be said, and anything that we would say that would contradict that, again, is sort of the sinful sitting back and judging God based on the outcome rather than on his goal and his motive and his love and his goodness. And it actually leaves out man's role in his damnation, man's own role in his damnation. And the guilt that he incurs before God.
So where does Walther begin biblically to address the question of those who, and as we said at the beginning, if you sit down and just think of it in terms of human history, the millions who have never, for one reason or another, had opportunity to hear the gospel? Where does he begin biblically?
Well, he begins with sort of the history in Acts. And the fact that God sort of steered his apostles as to where they should go and where they shouldn't. And one of the knotty points that he brings out as being illustrative is St. Paul, after he had been converted, being in Acts 22 in Jerusalem, and he had this burning desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, but the Lord says to him, rush, hurry, get out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your witness of me. And what Walther says of that passage is that God could foresee that these people, because of their stubborn obstinance against the gospel and their enmity to God, would hear the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ being preached by St. Paul, and he knew that they would reject it and harden their heart further from it. And with that, he says, Paul, go preach where people will be converted, where there are the elect.
You call this, and you employ a little bit of a Latin that's, or you coin a new Latin phrase, whereas sometimes a wrongful view of predestination that God chose men from before the foundation of the world in view of their faith, the Latin being intuitu fide. You say this is intuitu non fide, that God foresees that some will not believe.
Yes, and again, this is not election, but foreseeing. And Walther sort of, he doesn't use the Latin, but my translation of what he says is this. Walther says, why hasn't God taken care of the latter generations of those who falsified his word and rejected it, that they might be brought the word anew? But that is not in the least a reason for us to think by our crude observation of God that he has mismanaged things. If he knows beforehand of those to whom the word is not preached, that they would not receive it in faith, but would reject it. And so this is Walther's. It's a rather simple answer, but it's a profound answer for those who have been deprived of the gospel, that God in his foresight saw that had they received the gospel, they would reject it.
All right. This may make the question sound even thornier. We will clear away some of those thorns with Pastor Joel Baisley talking about what about those who have never heard the gospel.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We meet from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. This month we meet on Thursday, December 15. Presenter for the day is the Reverend Jack Kirk from Bethlehem and Emmanuel Lutheran Churches in Brayman, Kansas. His topic is 2 Peter, chapter 1.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Preuss, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of A Christmas and the Baptism of Jesus sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Christmas and Baptism of Jesus sermons.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor Joel Baisley talking about what about those who have never heard the gospel. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org. or send us a tweet at IssuesETC. Pastor Basil, before we go on, tell us a little bit about the translation work that you have undertaken in these resources from CFW Walther.
Yes, in the past 6 or 7 years, I've been looking at some of the 19th century collections of CFW Walther. There were four main collections published in the 19th century in the German, and spent that time translating sermons, addresses, and prayers of Walther into English, and they are self-published and available on my website, which I think you have a link to. Recently, too, I've been translating the first years of Der Lutheraner, and have the first year of that which is Walther's first publication before there was a synod, and that's my present project, working on early documentation of the synod's history.
Folks, you can find out more about these Walther resources, translated by Pastor Joel Basley, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Mark 5 Publications. All right, now the answer you gave before the break might make our listeners think that we've just made a thorny question even thornier. And that is, you know, the first question is, what about those who haven't heard the gospel? And you say that based upon Walther's reading of that Acts passage, there are those that God explicitly says to the church, these people will not hear the gospel, go someplace else.
Well, no, he doesn't say it he says it to the church in his providential guidance of the mission. He doesn't say it to the church per se. He tells the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Walther believes that in the age of the apostles, that commission had actually been accomplished, that all people had heard the gospel within the generation of the apostles, and then those who were in pockets that had rejected it later would lose it. So he doesn't say to the church, avoid certain nations because I have no elect there. But as he guides the gospel to the nations, he does it in such a way that he foresees who would reject it and therefore keeps the gospel from being preached there and sends it to those where he has the elect that will be saved.
Now, a key point in understanding this is not only Walther's belief that the gospel had gone into all the world at the end of the age of the apostles, but also the notion that there are those, and I think here of a kind of a stark example, say Soviet Russia, where the gospel did still continue to burn brightly, but not generally. There are then a whole generation of people who have been robbed of the opportunity to hear the gospel by the sins of others. Walther talks a little bit about that, but in particular the sins of their forefathers.
Yes, and again, the effect of sin is the rejection of the gospel is that, and you see it in parts of the world, that where the gospel is rejected, there actually becomes a polemic against the gospel that poisons the heart of the people against it. For instance, in communist Russia, there was the atheism that was officially promulgated by those fathers unto their children for 40 years under communism. In Muslim countries where I believe that they were originally Christian and then Islam became sort of a rejection of the centrality of Christianity to morph into something else, Muslims are by their fathers taught a polemic against the gospel that robs their children of the gospel. So, you know, the effect of rejecting the gospel is an effect of the law that passes down to fathers and to children.
So it's a lot closer to a good answer to the question. Rather than blame God for men not hearing the gospel, it sounds like Walther says, first let's talk about blaming men for men not hearing the gospel.
Yes, the falsification of the word or denial of the word has an effect on the children. That's right.
Ken listens in Florida. He asks this question, apart from God's grace, wouldn't we all reject his gospel? If so, then, how can Walther say that God passes over those he knows will reject him? As Lutherans, we disagree with the Reformed view that God passes over some while saving others. How is this any less biblical than Walther's view? And I think the answer here has to do with election, not with the actual preaching of the gospel, doesn't it?
Well, it has to do with election, but it also has to do with man's ability to reject the gospel. that and again, we you know, we're talking about where the gospel has not been preached, but we should also talk about where the gospel is preached. Where the gospel is preached, and that is the power of God unto salvation. What about those who hear the gospel and stubbornly reject it? What does the gospel do to them?
Is there an answer to that question?
Oh, yeah, yes. And again, I would refer to what Jesus says in Matthew 11 when he says to Capernaum, where he worked miracles and preached the gospel, and people rejected him there. He says, "Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works that I have done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than in the day of judgment than for thee." And it's going to be worse for those who have been where the gospel is preached and they have rejected it. It will be worse for them on the day of judgment than for those who are in a region that did not hear the gospel.
Joe is listening in St. Louis and waiting on the line. Joe, thanks for waiting.
Hi. I'm wondering if your guest knows how far back this question goes historically, meaning did the church fathers attempt to answer this question, or were they faced with this question? Because the question seems to, as you addressed initially, it presumes an issue of fairness, a questioning of authority, really, which historically seems to have become prominent, you know, in the 1700s, you know, into the 1800s, when people could question their own government, for example, you know, the rise of individualism. Thanks.
Thanks, Joe. What about it, Pastor Basely?
Yes, I think in something I had sent to you early, Todd, I had to confess that as Walther is, and again, I'm the nut in this sermon is just sort of a paragraph or two that Walther threw in here that was so intriguing to me that it just, you know, hit me on the side of the head, and I'm glad that we are able to discuss it. But I have to confess, I don't know if Walther is being original here as far as his answer to the question, or whether he's passing something on, because I haven't heard this in Luther, and I haven't heard it in the Church Fathers either. So I have to confess an ignorance to an answer to his excellent question.
As to the influence of individualism in giving birth to this question, how individualism has kind of changed our view of God from an authority to someone who ought to live up to our standard of fairness. What do you think about that connection?
Well, I would agree with the observation that you and the caller are making, that is something that has ascended to a central doctrine and a philosophy that is so strong in America and in liberty type of cultures that I think it's unmistakably a sign of the times that we think of it in that way.
David in Kansas City has this question. The end of Matthew and Luke record what we often call the Great Commission and Christ's ascension, respectively. Instead of focusing on those who don't hear, does he not simply call us to preach and teach his word everywhere? And he gives us vocations, lay and pastoral alike, in which to do this. The emphasis is on the preached and administered word that he promises will not return to him void. Our Lord, who sends us with his gospel, does not burden us with doubt, but with assurance that his word will come to those who like or like it not. What do you think of David's thoughts there in Kansas City?
Yeah, absolutely correct and absolutely right on. And Walther says, after he makes this explanation, he's sort of giving an explanation in God's goodness and kindness for what we see. But he follows right up and says, this idea is no excuse whatsoever for the church looking into a region where there is no gospel and not doing everything that it can to bring that gospel under that Great Commission and the glory of God to those people, instead of sitting back and saying, oh, God must be judging them so we can't help them. No, that's not his purpose at all. Again, his purpose is merely to explain a phenomenon that we see, not in order to squelch the zeal of the church to reach the lost with the gospel.
In fact, he does say later in that sermon, and it is really the body of his sermon, and he puts it in these terms, that the task of evangelizing the heathen or the Gentile, as he says, is the responsibility of every Christian in his vocation, doesn't he?
Yes, as a part of the body of Christ, even if you're not the mouth, you're any part of that body. The mission of the church is to bring that gospel to every soul that the Lord would allow us and give us the honor of sharing it with to the power of their salvation. Absolutely. And it's also interesting, too, from a mission standpoint, that near the end, I don't know if you got to the end of that sermon about how he thinks of the American Indians.
I didn't get to that. What did he say with about a minute here before we break?
Well, I don't know where he gets all his facts, but he makes a claim that under the name of Christianity, over a decade, over 15 million Native Americans had been slaughtered in the woods, and how the church has a responsibility towards them who have been robbed of their land and everything to bring them the riches of Christ and his grace.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. Pastor Joel Basely is our guest. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 6th. What about those who have never heard the gospel? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia. And Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
This Thanksgiving, I experienced a dramatic example of God's mercy and grace. The day before Thanksgiving, my brother Barry, in his mid-50s, experienced total cardiac arrest. Paramedics twice shocked his heart to no avail. He came to while one of them performed chest compressions. Doctors have implanted a pacemaker defibrillator in his chest. This health crisis brought home, as it has to countless other families, just how precious life is. What gave me great comfort was to know my brother spoke with such peace in his voice over the phone the next day. Barry knew if God had called him home, he would have walked into the loving arms of Jesus because he was bought with the blood of Christ. Human life is precious to God, so let's work to protect it from womb to tomb.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Joel Basely is our guest. In a few minutes, we'll take up a conversation on human labor and the image of God with Dr. T. David Gordon. You had said something before the break I found intriguing, and this is what Walther says about, in his context, at his time in frontier America, which he really was in frontier America, he talks about the Native Americans. He says, "Oh, my precious, then let us, even if many have forgotten their responsibility, be mindful of this and bear a concern for our poor Indian brother, that he be enlightened by the bright star of God's word that now shines over us. Let us not become even more hardened than that bloodthirsty Herod." And he really is bemoaning the fact on the treatment of Native Americans and the fact that we should have rather been preaching the gospel to them.
Absolutely, and the guilt that, I mean, it was in the name of the church that many of them were slaughtered, and so he says, don't we have a special responsibility for these people that we have come and Europeans have mistreated so badly, to give them more than we have stolen from them and giving them salvation in Jesus Christ? And yes, has it been generations since the Indians have heard the gospel? If, you know, when can you trace that back to? Does that mean that God has written them off? Absolutely. But that they are now a mission field and someone that that Lutherans especially are to look to share with their brothers the gospel of the great brother Jesus Christ. In fact, that's why many of the Germans came over specifically to work with and for the Indians in mission.
Finally then, put this all in a nutshell for us, Walther's response to the question, what about those who have never heard the gospel, in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, that God and his plan of salvation, his guiding of the gospel in the world, is for the benefit and salvation of the world. And he uses it in such a way and guides it in such a way that the saved indeed are saved so that they don't have to worry. It isn't their choice. It isn't up to them. But God is doing everything in order to save them. And those who are lost, God also loves them and is kind to them and treats them in the way in which their eternity will be the best for them. And if they would reject the gospel and become hardened by it and be worse off, in his grace, he withholds that from them.
Pastor Joel Basely is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. He's translated several works of C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Look for those works under a link at our website, Mark 5 Publications, issuesetc.org. Pastor Basely, thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Todd.